Welcome. Good to be here with you this morning. Just so you understand, Landon, would you stand up this morning? The country of Thailand is less than 1% Christian. So, if all of us were from Thailand this morning, Landon would be the only Christian in the group. So just to help us, thank you, Landon, you can sit down. Just to help us get a perspective, I should ask Alex to stand up. He'd have represented well. Didn't think about it, Alex. Just to help us understand the vastness of the work that's to be done there. This morning I want to talk about agreement. If I was, I don't particularly have a text, but if I was to have a text, it'd be from Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That would be the basis of what this message is this morning. Now, I have some symbols at the bottom of the slide. For those of you who like math, tell me what the symbols mean. What's the one on the left? What does that symbol say? Less than. Whatever's to the left of that symbol is less than whatever's to the right. What does the next symbol say? Equal. Same, same. In Asia, they say same, same. That means that whatever is on this side the symbol is exactly the same, is in agreement with whatever's on the other side of the symbol. Okay? What's the next symbol mean? Greater than. Whatever's on the left side of the symbol is greater than what's on the right side of the symbol. What does the last symbol mean? I'm sorry, I wanted to find a line symbol, and I couldn't find one to throw on there, so I used this one. But what is that saying? Not time out. Is not equal to or is opposite, right? It's opposed to it. Instead of being equal to, it's opposed to. So we're talking about agreements this morning. If you're a mechanic, you might understand it well by the term alignment. Why is it so important for your wheels on your car to be, or your truck, Alan, to be in alignment? Why is that so important? Okay, it just works best, doesn't it? If your wheels are out of alignment, there's going to be a lot of other things going on that are not going to be well for you. They're going to be expensive. They're going to be perhaps even hazardous. You know, if a tie rod breaks and all of a sudden your wheels go like this or like this, not a good thing. So, what? Right, they need to work together. They need to be in agreement or in alignment. Now, you notice something about all of these symbols. All of those symbols have two lines. But the way those two lines work changes everything. The equal sign, if the equal sign were only slightly out of alignment, it would no longer be equal, right? Just slightly. That's, you know, with an equal sign, we call that parallel lines, and it does not matter how far you go one way or the other with those lines, they never come together. And they never get further apart. They're equal. They're in agreement. So I want us to think about that this morning. I want us to, we have all kinds of agreements that we come up with, non-disclosure agreements, contracts. You know, we're always signing agreements, and you know how often when you go onto a website or onto something on the internet, at the bottom it says, I agree. I agree with the terms and conditions. And when we say we're agreeing with that, we're committing to something. So that's important for us. What is an agreement? It's simply that we are coming together on a certain item. You know, okay, we're going to rent out an apartment. Chad and... So we have an agreement. The owner and the renter agree on terms and conditions. We're on the same plane, on the same page. How are agreements made? Agreements can be made in a number of ways. We often go through a process to reach agreement, and that's a good thing. Who are agreements made with? Now here's where we start getting into some very important things in relation to this. Agreements we often think of being made in a business sense, being made with people. There are also agreements that are made with spirits, with the spirit world. There are agreements that we make with God. There are all kinds of agreements, and we make them in a number of ways. How do these agreements affect our lives? We sang a song this morning, I have decided to follow Jesus. How many of you know the story of that song? A few of you. About 150 years ago, in India, there was some missionaries, Northeast India, Assam state. There were some missionaries that went into that area of headhunters and took the gospel. There was a man and his wife and two boys, young boys, that became Christians. And the village chief was very angry. And he gathered his hunters together, they surrounded the family, and they told the man, you must deny Jesus or we're going to kill you. And as they told him that, the Holy Spirit moved on him, and the words to this song came to his heart. And the chief said, if you won't deny Jesus, we're going to kill your children. And he said, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The chief gave the command. They drew their bows. And his sons dropped to the ground, writhing in blood. The chief said, if you don't deny Jesus, your wife is going to die also. The man said, though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And he gave the command, and his wife joined his sons, in her blood on the ground. Said the chief told him, if you don't deny Jesus, you're next. He said, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. And he joined them on the ground. The chief began to think, wait, what is there about a man that died 2,000 years ago that is so moving that a man would watch his children and his wife and commit himself to die and not forsake that? And the chief said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And that day, that whole village became Christians. You see, that man made an agreement. He made an agreement with Jesus. It was a disagreement with the evil forces and the enemy of his soul and the village people and the village gods that were represented. That agreement affected his life tremendously. In fact, it ended his life that day. Thank you, Danny. Agreements don't always affect our lives to that extent, but agreements do affect our lives. Agreement with Satan is sin. Sin has consequences. When we make agreements with Satan, when we are on the same plane, on the same place as Satan, when Satan is over here and we join with him to the place where we are equal, that is sin. And sin does have consequences. When we choose to agree with God, that also has consequences. Some of those consequences can be difficult. Some of those consequences can affect us in our everyday life. And all of those agreements affect us for eternity. Steve Stutzman had this up not long ago. It was after I was working on this message, and I don't have it here because it's Steve, but he has a way of expressing things that I appreciate. Dana said, God is good. And that's true. That's a bottom line thing that we have to build on. The other one that we have to build on is God is right. God, as a system, a rating of values, He is right. Always, end of discussion, God is right. Amen? Doesn't sound very convincing. God is right. Amen. One more. I think you can still do better. God is right. Amen. That's getting closer. Thank you. Wherever we find ourselves in disagreement with God, He is right and we are wrong. Amen? Amen. Always. He cannot be wrong. When we insist on our own value system, that's known as rebellion, in opposition to God and His ways, right? This rebellion will bring pain 100% of the time. End of discussion. Always. No exceptions. The reality of this is written into the universe. So when we try to hold our own value system as opposed to God's value system, we're not in agreement with Him, against nature and God Himself, it takes effort. We have to really work at it. Or we have to have something that placates us and amuses us, causes us not to think about where we're at. We need games, we need drugs, we need alcohol, we need social media, we need something that's going to help us to deal with this value system that's in opposition to God. Don't be stupid already. Agree with Him. He is right. There are no alternative realities. I thought that was stated so well. All right. Now, one of the things we want to notice is, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I found this interesting. I'm reading in 1 John this week. And the fact is that spirits also make agreements. And in John, he says this. Here's how you know whether a spirit is from God or not. If it's in agreement with God or if it's opposed to God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh and that Jesus Christ is God is in agreement with God. That's what John writes to us. Makes it really simple. Is this spirit in agreement with God or is this spirit in opposition to God? So spirits make agreements as well. They can make agreements among themselves. They can make agreements with principalities and powers and all that kind of thing for an area. Now, one of the main places we make agreements is with people. And Amos chapter 3 verse 3 asks this question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And we've heard this over and over again. Well, you know, we just don't see eye to eye. And so we've parted ways. We're just not in agreement. Matthew 5, Jesus told us we need to agree. There's one guy we need to agree with. That's our adversary. Agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way, because if you don't, he's going to take you to the judge, and you may have to agree with him anyway. So agree with your adversary quickly, Jesus told us. So there's a point of agreement. And then we have the story in Matthew 20 where the guy goes out and hires these people in the morning and at noon and in the evening and pays them all a penny. And he said the guy that started in the morning saw the guy that started in the evening and they both got a penny at the end of the day. And he's like, oh, whoa, wait a minute. I worked all day in the hot and the sun and all the dirt, and I get paid the same as him. And he said, hey, didn't we agree? We agreed a wage of a penny when you signed on this morning, didn't you? Oh, yeah, okay. All right, it was an agreement. Now, there's a lot more we could go into in agreements with people, but here's an area where I want to spend a little time. Agreements with evil. I believe that we unwittingly and unknowingly often make agreements with evil that affect our lives. And we want to look at that a little bit and we want to see whether there's something going on in our own lives that we need to repent of, we need to break off, we need to be rid of in order to find freedom and hope. In Psalm 2, this passage is always interesting to me. The kings of the earth, they set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. They come into agreement. They say, let us break his bands asunder and cast away his cords from us. They're talking about the Lord and Jesus, his anointed. They're saying, we are not in agreement with God. We are in agreement with each other. We're going to cast off his restraints, his bands, and we're going to do just exactly what we want to do. How do you think that works out for them? No. So you're a king, right? Ruler. Top dog. We're kind of seeing a little bit of that going on in our own country right now. All these rulers that make these laws and then they don't do them, you know. It really works well for them, right? Even though they're rulers. Well, here's rulers that they're not just making laws. They're looking at laws of God and they're saying, nah. Not us. It goes on to say the Lord's going to laugh. The Lord's going to have them in derision. They're going to be in a really, really bad place. Isaiah 20, this is a very interesting verse. I came across this some time back, and it just really blew my mind. It just really speaks to what's going on in our world today. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. We've made an agreement. We've decided that we're in agreement with death and hell. We've made this covenant, this agreement with death and hell. And when all this stuff comes to pass that God's talking about, we have a place where we're going to be able to hide. And you know what that place is? A refuge of lies. Wait a minute. Does that sound stupid or what? You know what? I thought about this. This really struck me when I was looking at this. Do you know how many things in our world today are based on refuge of lies? There's a lie out there that says that babies in the womb are not human beings. A refuge of lies. Oh, we're not gonna, no, it's not gonna bother us. Hello? We've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we hide ourselves. They made this agreement with evil. And they think that somehow, by agreeing with evil, they're going to be protected. But they forget that agreement with evil is disagreement with God. So we have to think about what's going on here. Here's some more verses in relation to that. Paul asks this question in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What agreement has the temple of God with idols? When you look at the rest of this verse, you realize what he's talking about there is not a building. He's not saying you don't have idols at the front of the church. He's talking about us. He's talking about our hearts. What agreement do I, the temple of God, have with idols? A good question for us to ask ourselves. Acts chapter 5, verse 9, here was Ananias and Sapphira. They agreed together to tempt the Lord. They were in opposition to God. They were not in agreement with God. They were in agreement with each other. A husband and wife, that's a good thing, agreement with each other. But they forgot the other part. They need to be in agreement with God as well. And here's an interesting verse in Revelation chapter 17, verse 17. God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give the kingdom to the beast. Oh, here they are agreeing with evil and handing over the kingdom to the beast. So let's just think about this. Let's think about some examples and how this all works out in life. So here's Adam and Eve. They are in agreement with God. They are in fellowship with God. They are enjoying the presence of God, walking together with God. Remember, can two walk together except they be agreed? They're walking together with God. And things are lovely. And all of a sudden, here comes the serpent, and he says, "Has God said?" That should have thrown up a red flag right away. Because the question is, do you agree with God? And Eve looks and she says, "Well, I guess I don't agree with God." And all of a sudden, they can't walk together anymore because they're not in agreement, God and Adam and Eve. The three kings in Daniel's time. I've been reading in Daniel as well. And by the way, we've got a really interesting movie that talks about these three kings and who they are and what they do is really interesting. But here's three kings. All three of these kings are lifted up with pride. Isn't this the great Babylon that I have built? Boom, 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 boom. Disagreement with God. And all three of these kings go through a really tough time. One of them doesn't come out of it. He dies. Belshazzar. Nebuchadnezzar and Darius end up saying, Daniel's God is the God. They come into agreement with God. But I had to think, you know, they came into agreement with evil. And the cost to them was enormous, all three of those kings. The one especially cost his life. Now, in our own lives, I think there's a place here where you and I need to be very, very, very careful. I see this happening in my own life at times. I see this happening in families. I see this happening in churches where blame, guilt, shame, all these kinds of things are used to try to produce good works and righteousness. What happens when we make agreements with evil? What happens? Hello? It's sin. And it causes us to come into disagreement with God. Be careful if you think you're going to shame your children into doing right, or guilt your children into doing right, or attack your children into doing right. Be careful if you're going to do that with another believer, because you are opposing God. Read 1 John. He who blames his brother? He who shames his brother? No. He who loves his brother. We love God. We love each other. we're making agreement with God. We do all these other things, we're making agreement with evil, and we're opposing God. Be careful, be very careful, because these things will not produce righteousness. Oh, they might cause people to shape up and perform for a little bit, but they do not ever produce righteousness. There have been several times in my life where I went through difficult times, and I made some agreements that were not good. I don't know how many of you know the song, "I am a rock, I am an island." But that song was popular when I was a teenager. And it expresses the concept that I'm not going to get hurt anymore. I'm a rock, I'm an island, nobody's coming here, nobody's touching me, nobody's going to do anything to me. I'm myself. I don't need anybody else. And there have been several times in my life where I agreed with that song. And I've gone back and I've broken that agreement. I've repented of it. I've put it under the blood. I've cut it off. It's no longer a part of my life. I'm free from that. But I share that with you just to say, be careful. There are so many ways that we can make agreements. You start singing a song that is in disagreement with God, that the principles of it are in disagreement with God, it's not going to be very long when you're singing that song or playing that song till you start coming into agreement with it. Be careful. You start watching a movie that's in disagreement with God, and you keep watching that thing, it's not going to be long until you find yourself in disagreement with God and agreement with evil. Okay? There's so many ways here that you and I can find ourselves agreeing with evil. Making agreements in our heart with things that are opposed to God and His ways. There are so many things that come rolling through my mind as I think about this. When I choose as a husband to disconnect myself from my responsibilities in my home, because things are not going the way I want them to go, I am making an agreement with evil. I am opposing God. God says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so I say, God, I can't. I don't know how. But I agree with you. I will do this. No matter what, you give me the grace, you give me the strength, I'll do this. And we could just go so many places with this morning. It is something that we find ourselves tending toward. Calvin said this, the heart of man is an idol factory, I-D-O-L, idol factory. We are continually making idols in our heart and making agreements with them. It can be money. It can be our reputation. It can be all kinds of things that we make agreements with and cause us to find ourselves in conflict with God. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to say, well, just the way I am? Look at this some more. There's a lot of lies out there. There's lies about us. There's lies about others. If we start believing lies, we make agreement with evil. You ever tell yourself this? I never do anything right. I'm so dumb. I can't. I'm ugly. I'll never change. Everything I try to do turns out bad. And the list could go on and on and on. And when you and I take those lies and we personalize them, we are agreeing with evil. What does God say about us? What does He say about who we are? We're His, as His children, we're His. We're created in His image, right? Is God dumb? Is God ugly? Is God stupid? Does God never do anything right? Are we agreeing with God or are we agreeing with the enemy? What he's bringing to us. And let me tell you something. It does not matter who we are. It does not matter what our responsibilities are. We can be the pastor of the largest megachurch in the country. We can be the president of the United States. We can be whatever. If we believe those lies, we make agreements with devils. And we give them a place in our life that opens them up to opportunity to wreck and cause havoc. I'm not telling us that we need to go around bragging on ourselves, but we need to have a right picture. It needs to be in agreement with God, okay? Now, what about speaking lies over others? You're an idiot. You're hopeless. You're useless. You never do anything right. When you and I speak those words over anyone, I don't care who it is. I don't care what they've done to us. We are making agreements with the enemy, with evil. What does God say about them? Same thing He says about us, right? They're made in the image of God, just like me. Doesn't matter whether they're a drug addict or whatever they are. Doesn't matter how awful they look, how stupid they act. It doesn't matter any of those things. They are made in the image of God. And I need to learn to claim the power of God over them. I need to learn to agree with God about what His plan is for them. It's His will that they should be saved. So am I in opposition to God and agreement with evil, or am I in opposition to evil and agreement with God? Now, let's, in closing, last part here, let's quickly look at agreement with God. Prayer, the main purpose of... By the way, let me just say this. If you recognize in your own life that there are places where you are agreeing with evil, immediately, if not sooner, confess those to God, repent of them, put them under the blood, break them off, cast them down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Casting down imaginations and every high, and that word casting down is like smashing it. Cast it down and make agreements with God. God, I've made an agreement with evil. I've broken it off. I agree with you. I come into agreement with you. That's how you deal with those. Okay, agreement with God. The primary purpose of prayer, and I shared this in Sunday school last Sunday, so those of you that were there have to listen to a repeat here. The primary purpose of prayer is not to get something from God. The primary purpose of prayer is to come into agreement with God. And so Jesus says, here's how you pray. Our Father in heaven, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth like it is equal to, in agreement with, aligned with what's going on in heaven. The only way that you and I will ever pray a prayer that's effective is if we are in agreement with God. If you and I are in disagreement with God, we can pray until our eyes fall out with tears and our body wastes away with fasting and nothing is going to happen. You see, the trouble with our prayers is we make ourselves God and make God our puppet. God, here's what I want. Could you get it done for me? And then when it doesn't happen, we get all mad. Really? Well, who's God? And am I in agreement with Him? That's the question we have to ask. So prayer is basically agreement with God. God, I am agreeing with you. I don't know what you're trying to accomplish. I don't understand all your plans and purposes. But God, I am in agreement with you. I want your will to be done in my life just like it's done in heaven. And I want it to be done in other people's lives also. That's what I want. I want your will to be done. I am in agreement with you. Secondly, confession of Jesus is agreement with God. Who did God say Jesus is? Son of God, absolutely. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So, am I going to be in agreement with God on who Jesus is? You see, confession, the word confession, actually means agreement. To confess something doesn't mean just to say it. Just to say something is not confession at all. Confession is to be in agreement with. So when I confess Jesus as Lord, I am agreeing, yes, Jesus is Lord. He's the Son of God. Whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father. So Jesus says, if you agree and confess me before men, I'll be in agreement with you before the Father. Matthew 18, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you ask, it'll be given to them. Now, is that a blanket statement that if two of us, Jonathan and I, we get together and we say, this is what we're going to tell God what to do, and God's going to do it, right? Is that right? What's wrong with that? Isn't that agreeing? Isn't that what he said? If we agree on anything? Let's back up. What does prayer, the main purpose of prayer, consist of? Okay. So we start by agreeing with God, and then as we agree with one another that this is God's will, then God can move. So that's important for us. We're confessing Jesus in agreement with God, and then God is able to move within us and among us. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10:9, 1 John 4:15, whoever will confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty simple to me. And that's what God says. I'm going to agree with God. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. I'm good with that. Are we going to agree with God? Or we got our own way? Confession of sin is agreement with God. So we prayer is agreement with God. Confessing of Jesus as Lord, as Son of God, is agreement with God. And confessing of sin is agreement with God. Now, what was sin? What do we say in the beginning that sin is? Okay, but it's an agreement with who? Sin is agreement with Satan. So when we see sin in our life, we come to God and we say, God, I have been in disagreement with you. I have been in agreement with Satan. Here is the sin. I confess it. I repent of it. I put it under the blood. I cut it off in Jesus' name. I want no part of it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we agree with God about our sins, He'll cleanse us. You see, here's the problem. We like to use this or this, right? The Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I am greater than these other guys. I don't do what they do. I do lots of good things that they don't even think about. Oh. Wait a minute. Was he agreeing with God? Was he? Absolutely not. Here's the publican, and he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Is he using this? No. Is he using this? No. Is he using this? No. He's using this, right? God, I agree with you. I am a sinner. And it's only by your mercies that I have any hope. And Jesus says, whose prayer do you think God heard? The one that agreed with God. Of course. We're not stupid. God hears the one that agrees with Him. The one that's disagreeing with Him, He's saying, whenever you get your act together and decide you're ready to agree with me, we'll talk. I'm ready to talk. But you got to agree with me first, right? So we have to confess our sin. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another so that you may be healed. We come in agreement with God when we agree with Him about our sin. Here's some questions I'd like to ask you in the end. Some things I've been thinking about. Why can't we just agree with God about grace? I am sick up to here of all the arguments I have heard over the last number of years about why grace is not grace. Listen, grace is a gift. That's the final thing and that's the only thing. Now you are saved by grace through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Gift, gift, gift. Why can't we agree with God that His grace is a gift? Amen. The end. Why can't we agree with God about things that He already knows? You got a place in your heart that you won't go? You won't let anybody else go there either? Why can't we just agree with God about everything He already knows and let Him take care of it? That's what He wants to do. That's what He's longing for. Quit telling Him how good we are. Quit telling Him how we're better than somebody else, or we're not as bad as somebody else. Just lay it out before Him. Say, God, this is who I am. He knows it. He knows how to deal with it. Why do we find it necessary to make agreements that displace God's truth? The Pharisees did this over and over and over. Yeah, we agree that if you give that money to the church, you don't have to take care of your parents because this is a gift to God. And Jesus said, Pharisees, when you get done making all your agreements with each other and with all these people, and I could have gone into verses where the Pharisees had agreed that whoever talked about Jesus was going to get kicked out of the temple. All kinds of things like this. Those Pharisees, Jesus said, Pharisees, when you get done, the people that you bring in are twofold more a child of hell. Than when you started. Talk about disagreement with God. What had they accomplished? I think it's high time that we make sure that our agreements are agreements with God. Not with ourselves, not with a whole host of people, not with the evil forces around us, but agreements with God. So I challenge you this morning, if the Lord has spoken to you, if He's shown you something in your own life where you're making agreements with something other than God, bring them to the cross. Say, God, I want to agree with You. I know I've disagreed with You. God, I confess it. I agree with You about what this agreement is. I break it in Jesus' name. I cut it off. I confess it as sin. I repent of it. I lay it at the foot of the cross. Cover it with Your blood. I want to agree with You. Amen? Father, we thank You. We thank You that You have allowed us to agree with You. You have made it possible. We've come, You told us, we came in disagreement with You. From our birth, we have disagreed with You. We've gone everyone to his own way. And You laid the iniquity of us all on Jesus Christ. And we want to agree this morning that Jesus Christ is Your Son. That it's through Him that we have salvation. That it's by grace alone. Only the gift of God that can bring us salvation. And we ask that You forgive us for those times when we've disagreed with that. And we pray, God, that You help us to continue day by day to make agreements with You. In Jesus' name, amen.